Have you ever had one of those moments when life suddenly comes into sharp focus? For Gretchen Rubin, it happened on a rainy afternoon bus ride. Looking out the window, she had a startling realization. The days are long, but the years are short. Despite having what many would consider a perfect life, loving family, successful career, good health, she found herself wondering if she was truly appreciating what she had. This epiphany sparked a question. Could happiness be systematically increased through deliberate action? Rather than making dramatic changes like moving to a tropical island or quitting her job, Rubin decided to find joy right where she was, in her ordinary life. She designed a year-long experiment, tackling different aspects of happiness each month with concrete, measurable resolutions. What makes her approach so compelling is its practicality. Happiness, not as some distant, unattainable state, but as something we can actively cultivate through everyday choices and habits. What exactly is happiness? Scientists tell us that genetics accounts for about 50% of our happiness baseline, life circumstances contribute 10-20%, and the remaining 30-40% is determined by our thoughts and actions. This final portion became Rubin's focus, the territory where we have genuine agency. Drawing inspiration from Benjamin Franklin's virtue chart, she created monthly themes with specific resolutions, tracking her progress daily. This structure transformed an abstract pursuit into concrete action. Underlying her project were personal commandments like, "Be Gretchen," "Embrace your true nature rather than who you think you should be," "Let it go," and "Act the way you want to feel." These principles served as guideposts when navigating difficult moments. When friends questioned whether happiness needed such deliberate attention, Rubin found validation in both ancient philosophy and modern psychology. From Aristotle to contemporary researchers, thinkers have long recognized that happiness requires practice and intention. It rarely happens by accident. Without physical vitality, pursuing other aspects of happiness becomes significantly harder. That's why Rubin wisely began with energy. Sleep emerged as a surprisingly powerful happiness lever. By implementing practical strategies, darkening her bedroom, establishing a consistent bedtime routine, and acknowledging that tomorrow begins tonight, she gradually improved her sleep habits with immediate results: better mood, clearer thinking, and more patience with her family. For exercise, rather than forcing herself into activities she disliked, she identified what worked for her: brief daily sessions that didn't require changing clothes or showering afterward. The key insight? Finding sustainable exercise that fits your personality rather than following someone else's ideal regimen. Perhaps most transformative was her confrontation with clutter. Physical disorder creates mental chaos, subtly draining energy throughout the day. By implementing simple habits like the 1-minute rule, immediately handling any task requiring less than a minute, and an evening tidy-up routine, she created an environment that supported rather than depleted her energy. Rubin described her marriage as the weather of her life, affecting everything else. Despite having a good relationship with her husband, she recognized how easily irritations could erode marital satisfaction. Her approach centered on changing her own behavior rather than trying to change her husband. To combat nagging, she developed nonverbal cues and embraced the philosophy that if something needed doing, she could either do it herself or genuinely let go. For fighting fairly, she learned to focus on one issue at a time and avoid sweeping statements like "you always" or "you never." Her no-dumping resolution recognized that venting minor frustrations might feel good momentarily, but created an unnecessarily negative atmosphere. The most joyful resolution was giving proofs of love, small gestures like saying "I love you" more frequently or offering unexpected hugs. She discovered that acting loving actually generated feelings of love, creating a positive cycle. Happier people tend to be more productive, collaborative, and effective, creating a virtuous cycle where happiness and achievement reinforce each other. Central to finding purpose was the commandment, "Be Gretchen," acknowledging her true interests rather than what she thought she should enjoy. Having left law for writing, Rubin understood the importance of aligning work with authentic interests. She embraced challenge by launching a blog despite fears about technical incompetence and criticism, adopting the mantra, "Enjoy the fun of failure." This mindset transformed anxiety into liberation. Rather than marathon work sessions, she found greater effectiveness in focused 90-minute blocks with breaks. Many of us move through days on autopilot, barely noticing our surroundings or experiences. Rubin's exploration of mindfulness yielded practical strategies for staying engaged. Studying koans, paradoxical Zen riddles, encouraged thinking beyond conventional logic. Crafting personal koans like "the opposite of a great truth is also true" prompted deeper reflection on happiness principles. Novel experiences like hypnosis, laughter yoga, and drawing classes challenged habitual thinking and fostered awareness. Simple practices, such as using physical objects as mindset reminders, helped maintain attention throughout the day. Rediscovering abandoned pleasures reconnected Rubin with forgotten aspects of herself, offering not just enjoyment, but wholeness. Our perspective acts as a self-fulfilling prophecy, literally shaping the reality we experience. After taking a personality assessment and discovering her unexpectedly low score in agreeableness, Rubin embarked on a deliberate journey of transformation. She committed to being more consciously polite, implementing specific strategies like maintaining eye contact, using people's names, and showing genuine interest in conversations. Small changes yielded significant results, saying please and thank you more often, acknowledging others' contributions, and restraining the impulse to interrupt. The concept of an area of refuge proved transformative, a collection of uplifting memories, inspiring quotes, or comforting thoughts that served as an emotional anchor during challenging times. These mental sanctuaries helped counter what psychologists call negativity bias, our brain's natural tendency to give disproportionate weight to negative experiences. Research shows that humans typically need 5 positive experiences to offset 1 negative one, making these mental refuges crucial for emotional equilibrium. What if greater happiness comes not from dramatic life changes, but from small, consistent efforts within our control? Rubin's year-long experiment proved this point. Though she never achieved perfect adherence to every resolution, even her bad days had become brighter through structured efforts. Tracking and accountability transformed abstract aspirations into concrete habits. Most gratifying was seeing readers start their own happiness projects, confirming that systematic pursuit of happiness through personalized resolutions aligned with individual values yields significant improvements in well-being. The ultimate lesson is both profound and practical. Happiness comes from deliberately attending to energy, relationships, work, play, and mindset. We don't need perfect circumstances or dramatic changes to be happier. We can start right where we are, with small actions that accumulate into profound transformation. What one small happiness resolution could you begin today?